The title of this mini sermon is called God is Found in the Ouch. Can you remember the first ouch moment you ever had? I remember mine. I touched my dad's grill. I met Jesus Christ that day face to face. I was really young, and I just remember thinking, that is very painful. C.S. Lewis said that pain is the kingdom's greatest classroom of learning. I think if you pursue pain, something's wrong. But if you avoid pain with an illegal theology of fiction, then that's not God. All right, I've got 16 passages. If you have a Naga High journal that you go to Starbucks by yourself, if you're 30 or younger, that's what you do. When you're older, your journals look terrible. An older person's journal costs $4. Some of these young people journals, these things are nice. These are Smithsonian journals is what I call them. Little Naga hide fur on them. I thought it was funny. Seriously, though, did some filming with Gabby last week. I'm looking at her journal. It's like a car payment. Like, look at that thing. Watch this. If you've bought your journal off Amazon because you've ordered it from a special place, raise your hand. Gabby, look at there. I'm going to tell you who I'm wired like. If you're a Walmart journal guy or girl, raise your hand. There we go. Keller, that's Keller for sure. All right. Miriam, let's go slide by slide. I'm going to fly through it this morning. God is found in the ouch. These are seven habits that we are going to take a deep dive in here over the next 30 to 50 years, so don't worry about learning it all at once. Are we ready to roll, Miriam? You're like, God, I can't see you, but I can hear you. Seven habits to really that are going to help you become really close to God. And they're in order of what I have found. A lot of God's kids get stuck at Jesus, and they never meet the Father of Jesus. And Abba is an Aramaic word for father figure, tender father. When you find Abba, your life will make sense. Most don't. Most have to get to know Abba in heaven. That's really sad. Maybe that's why he has to wipe so many tears away. All addiction at its core is a search looking for the approval of Dad. So Paul said, call him Abba. Of all the crazy things Jesus did, blind eyes opening, when Simon Peter heard him say, call God Abba, Simon stared at him because the only paradigm of God in the Old Testament was unapproachable. Abba is the most approachable term of endearment for a God that we have. Number two, consecration. This is where logos, the word, solitude, silence, spiritual disciplines. I'm going to go fast today. We'll take our time downrange. That's another great habit. Number three, hang around hungry people. If you want to grow in God, the quickest way to let your fire go out is to hang around gossip and slander, hang around apathy. You are not strong enough to overcome an apathetic community. Matter of fact, a lot of small groups are demonic wound-licking groups, and they hop from church to church, and then they eventually end up starting house churches because they can't come under authority, and really they bond over their own misery, doubt, disappointment, and demonic activities. What happens. That's what happens. Because in true community, you bond in pain, you go to the refiner's fire together, but in little demonic pockets, these little Judas pockets, you saw Judas do it. It's been happening. Alexander Hymenaeus is in the Bible. Some guy named Diometres did it. Basically, hang around hungry people, and a true friend of God will lead you into your pain to bond with God in your pain, not take you around it looking for the next thing to fix it. That's good. That's a good teaching right there. I can help you with that. Number four, it's like penicillin. Tastes bad. It's good. Number four, study passages on the judgment seat a lot because your life is heading somewhere, and what's been done in the body, good or bad, will be laid bare. It's like a Stephen Covey. Begin with the end in mind. Mark was saying, I'm held accountable to how I lead Wendy and my family. It really helps keep on the frontal lobe. I'm being held accountable with my life. Every word will be laid bare. And there's a passage that says every thought. Chad Norris, look in the mirror. I mean, you hold that Bible up like a mirror, and it's like, ooh, search me, Lord. Ooh, it'll keep you humble. But you got to keep the judgment seat passages on your frontal lobe. All we like sheep are prone to go astray, and you forget. All right, number five, great habit here. Stay away from worry, riches, and the cares of this world. The Lord said those are the three things that choke out the word. It's not evil to have money, not at all. You meet very few friends of God, though, that can submit their wealth unto the Lord. It's not easy. It's easier for a camel to do that thing in the eye of the needle. Basically, in our terminology, it'd be like me trying to slide myself through a McDonald's straw. It's not going to happen. By the way, we got to stop with all the paper straws. We got to stop. The other day, I'm like, what is this? I'm like sucking on notebook paper trying to drink my drink. Number six, ask for more hunger. I have a habit. I told the story. Again, I go on fast this morning because I'm about to read some awful passages that make us wrestle, and then we'll go to lunch. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit 21 years ago, but under the pergola a couple of years ago, I laid hands on myself and I said, Father, I know I'm already baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I'm asking you to baptize me in more fire. And instantly, as soon as I said it, I'm telling you physically, I bent over. I felt the fire of God on me. In other words, ask for hunger. If you're lacking hunger, ask for hunger. Make that a habit. And then, and the Greek word for ask is demand. Hello. He loves faith. Number seven, thank God for your enemies. I could argue that this needs to be at the top of the food chain. Picture these around a circle. Media team's going to work on this. It's kind of, they're all flowing together. I'm not smart enough or creative enough to know how to do that, but thank God for your enemies. Ooh. I told the Lord one time, I want to live so long, the devil wonders, how is he still doing it? Why am I still torturing the devil? The Lord said, drink a gallon of water a day, forgive your enemies all the days of your life. There's a literal teaching going around the Spirit-filled stream right now that literally is teaching there's no such thing as enemies anymore. That was all done away with at the cross. Unbelievable what's being taught in the Charismatic Bride. Unbelievable. Okay, let's go through some passages, and let's start with Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, and I'm going to look at one word, profane, or it says strange here. Aaron, brother of Moses, two sons, he's high priest. They go to worship God. God never asked them to come worship God. They would not have died if they didn't get in the glory. I'm not trying to be funny what I'm about to say at all. I'm not trying to make you laugh. It's just the truth. My favorite thing to do on this earth is to sit in the sun with Abba. I looked at the weather coming up this week, last week, and I'm telling you, I was emotional. But the only reason I can sit in the sun today, it's going to be around 63. It's going to get warmer. Praise God. My office is outside. I just sit there. Just so happy. The only reason I can do that is because I'm about a billion miles away from it. Imagine me doing that 2,000 miles away from that sun. I would be a burnt piece of toast instantly. It's because I'm far away from the sun that I can enjoy its benefits. If you're so casual with God that you forget how holy he is, you got to be careful, because a casualness with God can get you in some deep trouble. And what happens in this passage, keep going to the next verse, so fire came out from the presence of the Lord, consumed them. Can you go back, Miriam? Look at this. They offered unauthorized fire. So look at the two fires. They gave a fire before the Lord. Next verse, look what the Lord does. He gave his fire. I'm going to tell you this. My fire can't compare to his fire. Can I say that? And I'm going to tell you that passion is not always equated with being loud. Typically, the loudest person in the room is the weakest person in the room. So I got to be careful. The highest form of worship is obedience. Here's the point for 2024 in the New Covenant. I still better greatly respect God when I'm worshiping him. And the highest form of respecting God is having no rights, as Mark said, Father, I am here. Proskuneo in the Greek, I'm here to lick the hand of the master. It brings a sobriety into the thought process of what it means to go towards God. Let's go forward and contrast this. Actually, let's look at the word profane or strange in the next slide, I think, Miriam. Go to the next one. Did you write it down what the word strange means? Profane, weird, unholy, casual. Look at that word, flippant, irreverent. These are high priest sons. If you get too casual with God, you're in really big trouble. Jesus marvels at how reverential that Roman centurion was, and he wasn't even Jewish. Let's contrast this with Ananias and Sapphira, because it really is the same reason they got taken out. They became so casual with God. Let me just put on the table, there's great probability that Ananias and Sapphira were in the upper room. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why do more people not get smoked like Ananias and Sapphira? Because this is the new covenant. I got a couple of thoughts on that. Number one, the same level of manifested glory, not glory in us. The same level of manifested glory in the community is not nearly what it was for these people. People say, oh, I want a house of glory. Be careful. If you really ask the Holy Spirit to shine his light on your life, just be prepared for what he shows you. And so there is a verse I don't have time to go into. It's in 2 Timothy where Paul says, some men's sins are revealed instantly. Some are revealed downrange. My sins are going to get revealed either instantly or downrange. I'm going to tell you what manifests them instantly when you're in a true community of glory. I think it's absolutely impossible to have a mega church and it be a house of glory. No way. No way. There's only 120 people in the upper room. Because when the glory really begins to manifest in places, woo, people run and they call it spiritual abuse. People run and they say, no, 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 I'm under a new covenant, brother. No, you're actually under the eyes of the Father. When you put your family on the altar, like Mark was saying, then this is what God will say 100% of the time. Mark, Paul, Chad, you're supposed to die daily. You have no rights. But here's what's awesome. When you have no rights, you really have no problems that are your own. All your problems are God's problems. So when Jesus is on the donkey going in Jerusalem, the Greek word epiripto only shows up twice. They epiriptoed that cloak. They threw that cloak on top of the donkey. So when you cast your cares, 1 Peter 5:7, on the Lord, that's what happens when you have no rights. Do you know that living under the glory will produce a higher level of shalom, but also a higher level of revelation of anything that's between you and God? What I'm trying to say is this. I would rather him be shining his light on me and me be at peace with the light burden than me carrying my burdens away from the manifested glory. Man, I hope you get what I'm saying. Ananias and Sapphira, they treated it casually. They sold a piece of property. Next verse. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. Just because you're around the glory doesn't mean you're cooperating with other people in the community. There are people that are more consecrated than others. It is wild to me. There is a passage in Leviticus that they said, well, God doesn't see what we're doing down here. Whew. His eyes roam. He knows all my thoughts. See, this doesn't scare me. What scares me is you can be around the things of God and forget that. If you have a revelation of the fear of the Lord, you do not need 9 codes on your computer to protect your sexual purity. You just don't. I'm not saying it's evil to do that. You can actually be in a hotel room by yourself and not have to have 20 accountability partners to keep you pure when on the frontal lobe, you have these passages just on your mind at all times. Whew. You know what I love to do when I walk into hotel rooms? I invite the kingdom of God into the hotel room. I clean out every hotel room. I've said, Father, I don't know what's going on here in this room. It don't matter because the kingdom of God is within me. Holy Spirit, shine your light in this room. I have seen atmosphere shift in hotel rooms. I have walked into hotel rooms where I'm like, I don't know what's going on in here, but something's not good. Miriam was cleaning one of our Airbnbs one time, and she could feel something wrong in the spirit. We found out 2 hours later they had done cocaine in the house the night before. What I'm saying is this, don't be afraid of that stuff. Just bring the fear of the Lord into it. Woo! I am blessing myself. I'm serious. I get so wound up talking about this. Go to the end, Miriam, to verse where it says great fear. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. In one translation, it does not say great fear hit the city. It says great fear hit the church. Great fear hit the way. Wow. You know when God's judgments fall, it falls on his own bride first, not outside the bride? Don't get so distracted with political conversations this year. I'm not saying don't pay attention. I'm just saying don't put that before the kingdom, the king's ways. All right, next verse, next passage. Let's move through this. All right, this is the part that Mark said a minute ago that I want to focus on just for a few minutes. God does his part and we have to do our part. The woman with the issue of blood was not going to take no for an answer. You can worship God at the altar and cheat on your taxes. You can worship God at the altar and steal money from your own business. You can worship God at the altar and be unethical. You can worship God at the altar and slander within 20 minutes. There's a part that we play that is not a part of righteousness. Righteousness is because I called upon the name of the Lord, I am now as clean as Jesus. Ephesians 1:1 says, I am a saint. But Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See that word fear again? And actually the real translation is great fear and trembling. So what part is God's part and what part is my part? God's part is he sent Jesus to the cross. I do nothing to earn it. I just received Jesus as my Savior. My part is to partner with this verse. What covenant is Hebrews in? Is it in the old covenant or new covenant? Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. I have heard for 20 years in the Spirit-filled stream that I love and I pastor in. I have heard I am holy because of the blood of Jesus. That is true. That is absolutely true. There's another side of the coin. I am holy and I'm becoming holy. I am saved and I'm becoming saved. I am healed and I'm becoming healed. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The kingdom has come and it is coming. There's a part of holiness that's this word called consecration that's not on God's end, it's on my end. If I don't give God a container to feel, if I don't put myself on the altar, if I don't die daily, then I'm actually limiting what God can do in my life. God has one core value that he's looking for in Chad Norris, and that is to continue to groom me into the image of his son. Now, righteousness, my ability to stand before the Father holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, Colossians 1, 21 and 22, is not based on anything I've done other than, Lord, I need you. But your intimacy with God from now until when you meet him, it's not just based upon what Jesus did at the cross, it's what you do with Calvary. And the number one thing you're supposed to do with Calvary is die daily. You surrender daily. Lord, I'm yours. It's that Wesleyan prayer. I'm just loose change in your pocket, whatever you want. Please write this down in your Naga High journal. The happiest people in the world are the most surrendered people. You will find your life when you lose it. And Hebrews here points to this. You're not going to see the Lord without holiness. So if I'm holy because of the blood of Jesus, why is this saying, why am I supposed to pursue it? So I looked up the word in the Greek for see. And I can't pronounce that word. I'm not going to try. But this is the definition of see. This is what see means. To look at and allow oneself to be seen. Wowzer. Can we sit here for a second? I'm going to make this so simple you have to hire someone to help you misunderstand it. You may believe in Jesus, but you will never bond with Abba unless you are living a consecrated life. You can believe in Jesus and be a Judas. Judas did signs and wonders. Miriam, will you go to the very, very, very end to Isaiah 40, 31? I used to laugh about this verse. I used to say it's the grandparent stage verse. Every grandparent seems to have this on the refrigerator. Both my grandparents did. I don't know if you get to a certain age and you just get the thing, the magnet, but how much do you love this verse? Those who wait upon the Lord, and this translation is hope. But I did not know this until 2 weeks ago, what this means, this one part. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word hope, but those who hope, the word wait, in Hebraic sense, it literally means the process of becoming one with. If you look at the word abide in the Greek, it means meneo, and it's in the present tense. Righteousness is actually a decision I made to receive the blood of Jesus. Calvary's 2,000 years ago. But when it comes to sanctification and the process of me bonding with God, it's every second of every day, which is why Mark said, he didn't say it this way, but this is what he said, I die daily. Okay, now watch this. I surrender my life to Jesus at 12, but I also surrender myself to the Lord this morning. Coming off the retreat, those Emmanuel journaling things, they spin me. It takes me 5 days. It's like, I can't take it. I love it, but it's like, man, that's heavy. I was so tired, I had one of our students, Jeremiah, pray for me this morning. I said out loud, Lord, I did not have the strength to preach this morning. Jeremiah laid hands on me, and I felt his power come upon me. Sanctification and surrender is daily, hourly, by the second. And here's what I want to say to bless all of us. when you are surrendering, what you fear the most is actually the greenhouse of your biggest transformation. The pain you're running from is actually where God is hiding. Don't you agree, John? You know what? I had a conversation with Helms yesterday. We've launched Celebrate Recovery here, and I'm noticing something. Sexual addiction is no different from cocaine, no different from pills. It's no different from having an addiction to an app where you can gamble. Just keep going down the line. It's no different. The core is the same for every addiction. And this is what Helms and I talked about. We're all running from something, but the addicts that get free, from the Zacchaeuses who were little thieves, they stole money all the time. The Lord didn't tell Zacchaeus to give that money back. So why did he give it back times a bunch? There's something about Jesus that he doesn't see your pain the way you see it. And what we fear the most is simply an invitation to invite the Lord into our pain. And that's where we connect with him. And that's when we drop the drugs. Zacchaeus said, Lord, I'm going to pay him back. Go read that passage. The Lord didn't say, Zacchaeus, you have to do three things to sanctify them yourself. I know he didn't go to the cross yet, but don't get tangled up in all that. Zacchaeus, you don't have to do these three things. When you just get with Jesus, you bring your pain, your mess, your crap, your stuff to Jesus, and he bonds with you in your pain. He doesn't even condemn you over it. But a failure to enter your pain, you can go a lifetime and think about God and never bond with him. God is found in your mess. So you say, what is he asking me to do? Bring your mess to him. It's kind of funny. We sing that song, where can I go from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down into the depths of hell, you're there. He already knows everything about me. So why not just go ahead and say, hey, Lord, I'm really tired this morning and I don't want to preach. I love these people. I'm tired. I need a nap. He said, have Jeremiah pray for you. Where's he at? He was right beside me. Jeremiah, he looked up. Pray for me. Surrender is basically taking my hands off of the wheel of my life. So what we do is we want to control. And so when something's painful in us, we want to run from it. I'm the chief of sinners. The point of this, sanctification is hard work. Mark said the word hard. You find God in the hard, and the hard becomes easy because you learn just to release it. Miriam, what passage do we have right before this? And I'll close here. Melanie, y'all want to come back up? It was the passage right before. Okay, look at this. Yeah, that was it. That was it. That was it. The next one, the one that was, look at this. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Consecration is on our end, not God's end. So I thought I was clean. I'm in Christ. You are. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is when the Holy Spirit identifies something you're carrying, don't beat yourself up. Just bring it to him and say, Father, I just consecrate myself. I'll close with this story before we worship a little bit. I was laying on my bed in the early days after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I said, God, I really want to know you. And I heard him say loud to me, I didn't know what it meant. I had to Google it. It's embarrassing to say it, but it's true. He said, Chad, consecrate yourself. I knew that passage in Joshua, but if you'd made me preach it, I couldn't. Oh boy, I can now, 20 years later, 18 years later. Consecration is simply an act of me bringing myself before God, setting myself apart, saying, God, I don't want to be addicted to busyness and the phone, TV. I don't want there to be anything between you and me. That's that passage, cleanse yourself. Let's stand up together. I'm going to speak a blessing over us as we worship this final song. I bless you with the courage to consecrate yourself. I feel like the Holy Spirit showing me, consecration is not legalism. We have to be careful what we're calling legalism. As the sun rises in the spring, you have two ponds that are waiting for you here. Larry Fleet said, that's where I find God. God is looking for those desert fathers and mothers that want to find him in the rhythms of grace, silence, solitude, consecrate yourself. For some of you, the Holy Spirit is going to move on you and you are going to literally confess to your family and friends that your phone has become your crack pipe. Consecration is removing whatever it is that is keeping me close to the Father. He's not mad. He's just holy. And holy God's not going to put up with unholy things in our lives. He's not mad. He's holy. We will not see God and walk in unholiness at the same time. You will not bond with God being a thief and a liar and a slanderer. He puts it in the realm of witchcraft. You will not know God. But all it takes, according to Mark, is one tiny step. One itsy, bitsy, tiny, broken step. Some of you just need to come and lay your face at the altar and say, God, show me what needs to be removed from my life so I can know you.